Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
This is the final part of the Kingmaker series.
Isaiah 48:17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God which teacheth thee to profit. Profit? Prosperity? No, profit for your souls. I am the Lord thy God which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Sovereign God? Psalms 147:4, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Has he changed any names lately? Let's talk about divine intervention, shall we? We've heard that. Does a sovereign God who sets all courses, foreknows all needs, and has finished his work and is at rest, Genesis 2:3, need to suddenly enter reality and change something on the spur of the moment? Be not ye therefore like unto them, says Jesus, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. Matthew 6:8. How about what some of us call divine intervention, say in Joshua 10:13? There are other places in Scripture you can refer to. You know them. The way we use the term divine intervention implies that God somehow has to scramble, justify, or produce a miracle for the one who requests it at the time, at that point in time. But God knows your needs before you even ask him, or is that just needs? Are we really gonna go crazy on this one? He knows everything before you need them. According to Jesus, he's not a flawed God. This is what I've called an insertion. And it was Joshua's request in Joshua 10:12-14 for a longer period of light to defeat their enemy a surprise to God? Or does Matthew 6:8 tell us a lie? Or was what Joshua had requested known of God before he set things into motion? Wasn't the cosmic or earthly event which occurred that halted the sun already planned at the beginning? Already on the way? I don't know what that was. Some expositors have given their ideas on them. They're all pretty sound. Could be whatever. But yeah, the sun stood still. I say, yes, it was planned according to his word. God's answer to prayer was already planned for. God's answer to prayer was already waiting. It's our test what we pray for. Remember that? This'll bake some noodles. If something like this with scripture to back it up doesn't make some of us swallow hard, I don't know what will. Doesn't make us fall in absolute awe of our God, I don't know what will. I ask you, what do we think praying in God's will really means? You know, what meaning does Matthew 6:8 have to us? It should begin with the fact that all of it was foreordained and foreknown. You know, I can see, yeah, here comes the torches and the pitchforks. Yeah, here we go again. Some folks will say, well, that just makes the box I have God in obsolete. Oh, man. Or, well, that just takes away any control from us. Baloney. We're not robots. God knows the end. We don't. God knew the beginning. We didn't. We were inserted into time. Control? Remember choices? Choices? Let the scriptures testify to this truth of that I'm bringing you about control. We have control. Sure we do. That's why we strive, endure, hold fast. We have fear and trembling. We examine ourselves. We can shipwreck our faith. Or we can go the other way. We have control. We can sin. We can willfully sin. Go right ahead. We've got tons of control. We're not robots. This is where we cannot get it straight in our minds. It just causes us headaches to think that how can a God who planned all this and know all this, how can that God be? And then how can we be the way we are? And we just can't, the twain shall never meet. No understanding there. Well, I say, if the Holy Spirit ain't in you, it ain't in you. And you can't harmonize the two. Because our God is all about balance. We're not satisfied with faith. That's our problem. We have to know the end from the beginning, don't we? Well, that's thin ice, saints. That's thin ice in cold, deep water, saints. That's unbelief, saints. The faith of Jesus Christ isn't good enough? Saints, God having to interrupt his rest from his work implies a flawed God, and that's impossible. If we believe in God's sovereignty and foreknowledge, etc., how can we possibly let on that God was taken by surprise and forced to rise up from his rest and have to divinely insert a change into something he knew and ordained would occur from the beginning? There's no heavenly overtime, folks. This is as heavy as it gets. Is God God or not? There is no church assembly, no pastor, no teacher who can reveal the truth about this to us. It is only the Holy Spirit of God. Do you have him? Is he welcome? Have you opened the door? Or are you still shuffling papers, feeding your brains, ever learning? If we say amen to the truth that God and only God knows the end from the beginning, and we have choices to make along our path, which will amount to life or separation from God in the end, how dare we take away anything from this God? How dare we? How dare we reserve it for future consideration? Oh my God, future consideration? Saints, we either go the distance with truth, in truth, by faith, or we're liars. Put up or shut up. Get on the path or get off of it. Simple. In summarizing this section, what may look like an unplanned, sudden divine intervention is not to God. Frankly, I don't believe in today's rendering of divine intervention in relation to what God has set down from the beginning. Today's rendering of this is contrary to the Word of God, and we have Scripture to back it up. If we're looking for confirmation, there is no need for any intervention if God's word testifies that God set all things into motion and that God rested from it all. And God's a liar. No way. It all moves along right on course, right on schedule, no interruptions and no surprises to God the Father. God, our sovereign Father, does not ever have to correct, insert, or change anything in his creation. I believe that God knew before the beginning of his own repenting of creating man, and the other instances where Scripture states that he repented of this or that. And I don't think we could take this point further, because then it becomes a hair-splitting event for a lot of us, and I ain't going there. Bottom line, God is not NASA making slight course corrections for a stinking Mars mission. God is faithfully true to his own word, and he is at rest. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Isaiah 43:7. I believe that God's word is true and that God set all things into motion after their foreordination by God, and that even his intervention, which I believe he foreordained, may bring attention to God. Attention? Yeah, glory be given to God. On the seventh day, God rested from his work and it was done, and God never picked up a hammer or shovel or threw a lightning bolt again. There was one thing that was not finished, though. It was something whose course had also been set before the foundation of the earth. It was inclusive in the sixth day when he created man. Yeah, it was the sacrifice. It was reconciliation. It was redemption. And when was that finished? Yep, Calvary. Right on course, right on time, no interruptions and no surprises to God the Father. Pilate could have freed Jesus, so why didn't he? Take a couple of aspirin and have a bottle of Maalox handy if you want to chew on this piece of spiritual meat. It'll bake the noodles of the always learning crowd. What does the Dakes crowd do with this heresy, huh? He could have. Why didn't he? And don't tell me if Pilate made a choice to free Jesus, it would have somehow changed God's mind at the spur of that moment. No interruptions. It was all foreordained. And Pilate still had a choice, and God knew which one he was gonna make. And Pilate killed him. Thank you, Jesus. For he that has entered into his rest, God's rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Hebrews 4:10. When did God cease from his works? We already talked about it. We have such a problem and such a fear of the scriptures sometimes. We have such a fear of being branded heretics and false these and those, don't we? Well, folks, the fuse that I just lit is still burning, so let's take a look at a few more scriptures. Hebrews 4:3. For we, which have believed, do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works were finished. Were finished when? Says so in Hebrews 4:3. Resting when? Scripture after scripture, confirmation after confirmation, testifying after testifying of what the Holy Spirit has already put in our hearts, and we're running like a bunch of deer from a forest fire. Romans 4:8. How about this one? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Frightening scripture, isn't it? But is this something God does on the spur of the moment? I don't like this guy. I'm going to impute sin to him. Does God do this in haste? Or did God set this course in motion before the foundation of the earth was laid? Hey, folks, according to scriptures I read, coming from the Masoretic texts and, you know, translated in the old King James, it seems like sin was foreordained to be imputed, doesn't it? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Psalms 115:3. The point? The punchline? There's no surprises for our Kingmaker God, folks. There's no oops and no yikes. God tells us that he planned creation, set things in motion, and rested. Christ, the Word, was there at the beginning of creation to do this. Nowhere in Scripture does it state that God has rolled up his sleeves to fix, adjust, or insert anything into what he had laid out in his mind before the world or man was created. And this has always been my point. Even before I've finally gotten to putting these studies together at God's leading. My point, how is it that if we believe God and claim to know him, why don't we have the faith to take it all the way? These things came into my heart because I prayed and prayed that I would know him at least on the level of what the scriptures testify about God, about himself. Who can know the mind of God really fully? No one. It's the glass darkly scenario. But he's given us plenty to know about him. He's still at rest now, as we should be also in him. If we believe this, why are we lukewarm? How can God's elect be lukewarm? Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Isaiah 43:13. God laid his plans, and he did his work, and he's not watching a rerun of his own movie. All is on course and on time, and what happens in the end is known only to God. this your creator? Or is this your sugar daddy? That box you place God in will be your coffin. And what a disrespectful and blasphemous thing it is. Have we entered into God's rest, or do we believe that God will get back to work on Monday? Do we trust the architect of our salvation? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. This isn't after salvation when we're with Him. This rest is in our spirits and hearts now, by the Holy Spirit, God's rest. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his, Hebrews 4:9-10. God laid it all down in the beginning, set the courses. When we've been called by God, will our works be those things that will lead to our election? What works can we do ourselves by our own volition? None. We can choose to be obedient. We can choose to be the vessels God made us to be and let Him work through us by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. That's so hard to understand. You know, can we work for anything? Can we work to be called? Can we work to be sanctified? Can we work to be saved? We already know the answer. Do we trust God and have faith? Folks, God is bigger than we ever give Him credit for, and He's simpler than the complex being we've fashioned Him into. And it's time that changed in all of us. All of us. For time is short. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, God the Father and Creator had already planned for this word coming up here, this word to enter Jeremiah. Take the time to read this scripture carefully, please, and learn what it implies from the words of God Himself. It's Jeremiah 31:35-36. It runs deeper than what we see on the surface or what we allow ourselves to see. Here's the scripture. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is His name. Here's the important part of the scripture I want you to ponder. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Why was Israel made into a nation? Why? To bring forth Jesus Christ, the salvation of man. Did it happen? Yes. Obviously, the nation didn't cease from being a nation, did it? The nation didn't cease being a nation. Christ came from it. The ordinances didn't depart from before Him. Isn't God telling us that what He laid down, He laid down, and nothing would have changed from the day He decided on it and put it all into place and rested? Interesting scripture, Jeremiah 31:35-36. Open up your Bible. Put your finger on it and read it to your God in faith, in the spirit, and in humility. Read it to your God. And if your intent is right, He'll answer you. In closing, which God will you serve? I pray it's not the one you've fashioned into your own image and stuck into a box. The more we get our spiritual hands around the fact that God knows the end from the beginning and has foreordained our paths, the stronger will be our faith in Him, the greater our confidence in Him, the less apt we will be to attempt to wrest control from Him, the more apt we will be to mortify the deeds of our flesh and submit to Him, and the deeper will be our rest in His rest. We can cease from our own works and let the Holy Spirit guide and live in us, guide us along the paths we have chosen to tread, following the firstborn, Jesus Christ. Our God knows that which we will choose. Is this all bitter poison to you, or is it honey? Even the devils grudgingly believe that God's in control. Do we believe it ourselves to our salvation? Or do we only believe it with reservations to our own destruction? And that is for you to decide. It's your choice, no matter who knows what that will be. Simple. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, Thou art my people. Isaiah 51:16. Bang. May the Lord our merciful God bless you, saints. Keep to the road. Stand firm in your faith. Don't be afraid of the truth. The truth is not given to you to corral you in a church, a false doctrine, a cult, a religion, a corporation. The truth is given to you that you go out into the wilderness and you find your God there waiting for you and his protection for you. He called you. Go in peace. May God have mercy on us. We give thanks and we give praise to the everlasting, all-knowing, merciful God, the God of our salvation. And may his Lamb, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, receive the reward of his suffering, to the glory of God the Father. And them words ain't empty words, saints. Amen.
Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and brake up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare, if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof, that thou shouldst take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldst know the paths to the house thereof? Knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth, where no man is, on the wilderness, wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice, and the hoary frost of heaven, who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom? And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is.
Where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth?
Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him?
The Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords,
a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward.
Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave.
To him shalt thou cleave.
I'll see you again if God is willing and the creeks don't rise.
He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Shall be saved.
If you are led to help keep the broadcast on the air, you may send support to the ministry here. If you are sending a check or a money order, please write WWCR on the payee line and I will forward it to the station. The ministry address is The Narrow Way, P.O. Box 60, Wrensville, Pennsylvania, 18818, USA.
This has been brought to you by TheNarrowWay.net.